Well, have you heard about the dorky little boy who becomes a superhero girl? It's the latest in kids' programming. Oh, yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Stay tuned for a whole lot more.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here is the bottom line. Society continues to change rapidly among us. Radical change is taking place that most of us would not have dreamed we would ever see, let alone see in our lifetimes, let alone see in 2013. They are happening around us, and a lot of us believers, we're just still hitting the snooze button and still just trying to enjoy the blessings of God. Friends, it's time for revival beginning with us, time for a wake-up call among the people of God. It's not too late to see God move. Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Yes, there is fire in my bones. Well, there's always fire in my bones. Sometimes it's burning more intensely than others. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. And if you want to get more information, more ammunition in a healthy sense, ammunition for your understanding, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the latest article, which is entitled The Film Industry's Celebration of Gay and the War on the Age of Consent. You need to read it. I'll be sharing more with you about that. Just some startling stats and information from online that will just give you an understanding of what's happening around us. Friends, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, speaking of the sons of Issachar, they were part of the army, of the armed warriors that gathered around David to help establish the kingdom for him when he was still in Hebron, before he established his kingdom in Jerusalem. And when you go through the list in 1 Chronicles 12, it starts in verse 23, it lists these mighty men, it lists these powerful men, it talks about all the weaponry and the might that they had. And then there's the smallest number, just a few hundred, it's not thousands, not tens of thousands, doesn't mention weapons, doesn't mention anything else, but it says that the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. That's one of our goals here on The Line of Fire. And it should be a goal that all of us have as leaders in the body and as believers in society to understand the times, not in some prophetic sense that we can fill in another item on our prophetic calendar and check it off, but to understand the times, to know what Israel should do, to know what time it is and how we should act. So what's the latest thing that's happening? Have you heard about the latest superhero for your kids? This is what's coming your way.
Meet the boy.
Yeah.
Who became a superhero.
Whoa.
To save the world.
The ring turned you into She's Out.
As a girl.
I'm a dude.
No, he's a girl.
This dress is uncomfortable.
No, she's a boy who's... She's the boy who's a guy. He's just a guy.
Exactly.
Making the world a safer place.
Clever. I can fly.
Dressed as a girl. She's out.
Check me out. I'm a she-liberty.
Oh, yeah. Coming your way. This is network called The Hub, which is co-owned by Discovery and Hasbro. The new show is called She's Out. When the guy who's a dorky 12-year-old says, "You go, girl," he becomes She's Out, wearing a purple skirt and cape, as well as pink gloves and white boots. And we're just getting started, friends.
Give us
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Friends, it's our goal to function as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, to help alert you to what is happening in society around you, to help alert you to what's going on in the schools, what's going on in the media, what's happening in the church world, what's happening in the government, in a way that relates to us so that we can stand up and be salt and light in the midst of our world. The only reason I sound the alarm, the only reason I bring a wake-up call, is to help us know how we are to live in this hour. I was a product of two revolutionary movements, a negative one and a positive one. The 1960s saw a counterculture revolution. Someone pointed out that if you fell asleep in 1960 and woke up in the year 2000, you'd see the divorce rate doubled, teen suicide tripled, reported violent crime up 4 times, prison population up 5 times, children born out of wedlock up 6 times, people living together out of wedlock up 7 times. And some of those numbers are much higher now. For the most part, the church didn't recognize what was happening. They saw the rebellion. They saw the separation of the generations. They saw the Who smashing their equipment at Monterey Pop and singing My Generation. Some people said, this is it. Jesus is coming back any minute. Jerusalem's come back into Jewish hands in 1967. These are signs of the end. It's all over. Rather than recognizing that behind the sex, drugs, rock and roll and all this, there was also a spiritual seeking going on. People were looking for spiritual truth, and for the most part, the church didn't recognize what was happening. The church didn't seize the moment, seize the hour, and look at this as an extraordinary opportunity to reach out in relevant ways. When I say relevant ways, I mean to realize they may not just get everybody standing behind the pulpit preaching. They may have to go out in the streets and reach out and minister to these seeking young people and find creative ways to preach the truth to them. To a great extent, the church missed what was happening. I was caught up in that era, and that's what opened the door for drugs and rebellion and godless living in my own life. And then in the late 60s, the Jesus Revolution started, the Jesus People Movement. And God started saving hippies and rebels and radicals from around the world. God started doing things in unprecedented measure, pouring out his spirit on us and drawing us to himself. So I got saved in 71. Suddenly, traditional churches are having an influx of hippies and radicals and people wearing tie-dyed shirts and sandals and guys with long beards and beads that hadn't taken a bath in a week and ladies coming in every kind of outfit. And they were interested in Jesus. And for the most part, as extraordinary as this was, the church didn't recognize what was happening. The church missed its moment. A few caught on. There were some spiritual fathers. There were some churches that had new wineskins for the new wine. There were some that understood the importance of making disciples, but so many missed it. And that's why so many who got saved then subsequently fell away. Friends, something's happening in our society again today. And it is not just a matter of rebellion. It's not just a matter of people seeking out all types of alternative sexual expressions. Something deeper is going on, and it's time for us to wake up, repent of the sin in our own midst, repent of the destruction of marriage in our own midst, repent of the sexual impurity in our own midst, and then to reach out, because there is a hurting world right now that needs the gospel. 866-348-7884. And I personally believe, as do many of my friends and colleagues, that there is going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit in the homosexual community and those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and that we'll have folks coming into our church meetings that we never expected to see in our buildings. And we'll have folks coming in with different lifestyles that make us very uncomfortable. Will we be ready to reach out to them with love and compassion and long-suffering and sensitivity and demonstrate the gospel in our conduct towards them? Or will we also live in revolutionary times and fail to see what's happening? All right. I want to play another clip for you. And this is from, and I'll come back to the superhero issue and tell you more about this, but I want to play a clip for you just to give you an idea of where things are at in our society today. This is a young woman who authored a book titled God Made Dad and Mom. It's a little cartoon book for children, all right? So, check this out. God Made Dad and Mom is the name of the cartoon book, and this is a YouTube ad where the young woman talks about the book and why she wrote it. And if you go to the YouTube site, you'll see that 41 people have said that they like the video, and 3,407 have said they don't like the video. This just gives you an idea of the hostility that comes towards those who say, yeah, God made dads and moms, and that's really the best. It's hard to call that bigoted or hateful, and yet these are the responses. So listen to her ad.
Hi, I'm Amber D. Parker. Thank you for watching. I am the author of a book entitled God Made, Dad and Mom. God Made Dad and Mom is a great book that can be used as a tool for grandparents, parents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters to give to the next generation and teaching them and educating them of God's plan for families between one mother and one father in the confines of marriage. Our main character's name is Michael, and Michael's fun and adventurous. And Michael learns on a special trip that not only does God have a plan for his friend's life, but that God has a plan for Michael's life.
Yeah, so the simple little video there announcing this new book. You'd think people would say, oh, okay, well, you know, some people are into this whole same-sex thing and want to talk about two dads, two moms. But, of course, we know the majority of the world and world history and the way we're designed biologically is mom and dad. That's only that. Right? Right? No, you dare say something like that, and you will be greeted with hostility. So let's understand something. 866-348-7884. It is not my intent to bash anyone. It is my intent to say that gay activists who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. That it's no longer acceptable to have a different point of view. If you do, you're bigoted, you're hateful. It's no longer acceptable to say, you know, I hold to biblical values. In fact, we're being told that we're misreading and misinterpreting the Bible. It used to be people saying, well, who cares what the Bible says? We don't believe in any of that stuff. Then many spiritually minded people within the LGBT movement said, no, we do care about Scripture, and we just keep getting bashed with these negative verses in the Bible. Maybe there's another way to read it. Now it's come to you Christians, you evangelical Christians, you fundamentalist bigots, you have no right to interpret the Scriptures the way you always have. You're misrepresenting the Bible. God is actually for same-sex relationships. That's where things have come. In fact, Joey, get clip number 6 ready. I want to play the clip first and then tell you what it's talking about second. All right, I want you to hear this first. These are two women speaking about what happened with their son.
They had a huge booth on their front lawn, and they hosted NOM, which is the National Organization for Marriage. So there was this huge banner, I don't even know how many feet, but it said, marriage is one man and plus one woman. They had a table full of materials, and we literally live one house away from that corner, and there's my 8-year-old son with his little pop stand talking to people as they walk by after they've just picked up all this garbage from that church. It was just the things that they were saying about our family were just awful, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand to have my kids there. I couldn't stand to walk out the door every day and be confronted by that poster. And it was so awful.
Well, what this was a Catholic church that said that it stood for marriage, for male, female marriage, as God intended it, for families led by heterosexual couples. these were two lesbians living across the street, raising an 8-year-old son. I'm not sure biologically which mom it is. That's the biological mom of that son. And that's now the garbage. The garbage is saying that having two moms is not the same as having a mom and dad. That's now considered garbage. Just holding to what we have always known to be the norm throughout history and society and by design and many other ways. Now, if you hold to that, that's garbage. Oh, it's possible they said insulting things about these women. That's wrong. It's also possible they just put forth biblical values. Things are being turned on their head. What are we doing about it?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Question for your friends on this Wednesday as we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. Do you think I'm exaggerating things? Do you think I'm making much to do about nothing? Do you think I'm exaggerating what's happening in our schools, exaggerating what's happening in our society, in the media around us? 866-348-7884. Look, I understand. I understand that many parents, many families are wrestling with really, really difficult issues with their children, a boy who believes he's a girl or a girl who believes she's a boy. And many of them have said that it's only when they allow their child to dress in the identity that they felt they were on the inside that the child behaved normally. In fact, I got some clips. Maybe later in the show I'll play them for you. I understand that. I understand these are agonizingly difficult situations. I'm not saying that we look at this situation and a bunch of perverts. No, we look at this situation saying they're struggling people, struggling moms and dads who want to do what's right, struggling kids that didn't ask for this problem. I understand that. And we, God's people, need to be praying for godly solutions because I have no question whatsoever that God's best is to help the child from the inside out. That if Jesus was to touch that child and heal that child, he would touch that child from the inside out rather than have that child have to cross-dress while they're in elementary school and a boy use the girl's bathroom or locker room. And perhaps as that kid starts to get a little older, put the child on hormone blockers so as to delay the onset of puberty. And then at the earliest teenage possible to get that child to have sex change surgery, then be on a regimen of hormones for life and then never be fully male or fully female. And who knows the effect, the long-term effect of the hormone blockers and other issues like that. And who knows how many other kids get traumatized because they're trying to deal with someone that's a boy in the girl's room or someone that's a girl in the boy's room. And they're getting hit with all these questions as little children and on and on and on. There's got to be a better way. To me, it's the height of bigotry to call my side of this bigoted because I'm saying there's got to be a better way for the kids and the families than to go through everything I just described. That's where we find ourselves, though, in society today. And rather than saying this is a problem we need to address, it now gets celebrated in the media. Remember when we were told we just need to be tolerant and accepting? We just need to be tolerant. If we're only that's all we have to do is be tolerant and accepting. No, according to the Riddle homophobia scale, put together by Dorothy Riddle and documented in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Oh, no, being tolerant or accepting is homophobic. This is used in our children's schools to measure levels of homophobia compared to, quote, positive attitudes. So what is a homophobic attitude? Homophobic attitude would be repulsion or pity or tolerance or acceptance. according to the Riddle Homophobia Scale. That's right. What would be positive values that your kids should have, positive attitudes towards homosexuality? Support, admiration, appreciation, nurturance. That should be their attitude. So unless these things are celebrated, now you have a superhero boy who becomes a girl. Unless these things become celebrated, the gay activist agenda has not gone far enough. Of course, it's laughable now when people would say years back, where's the agenda? There is no gay agenda. There's no such thing as a gay agenda. Yeah, show me. Show me the head homosexual who gave you the agenda. Well, all we need to do is show you activist organization after activist organization after activist organization funded by multiplied tens of millions of dollars with their clear list of goals, and there is the activist agenda. There's no mystery. Why do you think so many things have happened and so many changes have come? Groups like GLAAD, called the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which is really the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, they are going to fight what they feel is any bias, any negative statements from public figures or the media about homosexual issues. You have Lambda Legal and other organizations like that, and they're going to take people to court of what they feel are violations of the rights of the LGBT community. You've got the Human Rights Campaign, better known as the Homosexual Rights Campaign. They're not fighting for human rights of, say, oppressed women in the Muslim world. They're not fighting for human rights of slave children being trafficked in Sudan. No, it's quite targeted in terms of the humans that they're fighting for. And what is their budget now? Maybe $45 million a year? Keynote speakers at their fundraising banquets like President Obama? Yeah, the former head of the HRC called me out by name a few years back, publicly challenged me just because we had a series of lectures on homosexuality, the church, and society before his fundraising event there. They are lobbying Congress and constantly pushing to change attitudes and what they feel is a positive way towards homosexuality. GLSEN, the Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network, which is better called the Gay Lesbian Sexual Education Network, working tirelessly in children's schools, using the anti-bullying campaign to advance their agenda. Hey, they all believe they're doing what's right. They are sincere and they are passionate, and in their minds, this is a matter of equality and tolerance, and they feel that we are being hurtful and harmful and destructive. But friends, we must now wake up and fight with the weapons we have, the weapons of prayer, the weapons of love, the weapons of purity, the weapons of truth. We must now stand and do what God has called us to do to bring about positive change and to reach out to the homosexual community with the love of God, with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus, with a message of repentance and truth. We've had a special offer this week. All of you who have taken advantage of this, we're enclosing something extra for you. So you can now get all three of these important resources together for your gift of any size. My book, Go and Sin No More, which you may find to be the most practical book about holy living and overcoming sin and understanding grace that you've ever read. Go and Sin No More, together with a 12-hour audio series on one CD to listen to on your computer or MP3 player, where I take some of the key themes of the book and teach at length. Together with postage, those are worth over $40, but they're yours for your gift of any size. We're paying the postage, and I'm also including our 5x7 card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. If you ordered yesterday, the day before, those are all going out with the card for you. So take advantage of this. Get equipped so you can make a difference on the front lines. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Again, your gift will help us be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity 5 days a week, right in your home.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Matt Barber, my friend Matt Barber with Liberty Counsel, broke this story a couple of weeks ago together with Liberty Counsel. In terms of what's happening at the Department of Justice, it has been accused, Todd Starnes reports, of religious intolerance and viewpoint discrimination after workers were sent an email directing them to verbally affirm homosexuality, according to a law firm specializing in religious liberty. Friends, this is an area where you can't remain neutral anymore. That's why I'm addressing it. 866-348-7884. I'm hearing this from more and more pastors and leaders. Mike, we can't ignore this anymore. Mike, now we understand why you've been talking about this for years. Now we understand why you wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America. Now please hear me. There are plenty of Christian leaders, believers, Messianic Jewish leaders, leaders throughout the body, who have insights on things I don't have insights on. There are plenty of people who can speak with authority about areas that I don't even touch. There are plenty of people I listen to and I look to because they have a grace, an ability, a background, a history, connections, whatever it is, calling to speak truth in certain areas or to alert the church to certain things. And then there are things that I have been called to do and that I have focused on and prayed over. I want you to understand this. I have no qualms whatsoever about doing the things that the Lord's called me to do. I have no mixed feelings about it. I have pain for the people that I want to reach and speak to that look at me as an enemy. I have pain for my Jewish people who look at me as an enemy and as a traitor. I have pain for the homosexual community that looks at me as an enemy. I have pain for others in our society that I care about that look at me as an enemy. But that's not mixed feelings. That's just going to happen. That we understand. We understand there's going to be misunderstanding. But that being said, I am not complaining or saying, I wish I didn't have to do this. No, not at all. It's my privilege and joy to be a voice addressing these issues. But I want to say this. I did not go asking for this particular assignment. My life was 100% full. Excuse me. My life was 100% full writing books, teaching, preaching, traveling around the world, reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In fact, I could take any one area of the things God was calling me to do and do that full time and never exhaust the possibilities of what needed to be done. When God spoke to me about 9 years ago, the inner voice where you just know it's the Lord, reach out and resist. Reach out to the gay and lesbian community with compassion. Resist the gay activist agenda with courage. I understood that this was becoming a critical issue in our society. I understood that it was becoming the principal threat to freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, and even the definition of religious and biblical and moral values in many, many ways. Even the definition of gender and gender distinctions and definitions of marriage, family. The list goes on and on and on. I know that if God called me to get involved, it's because more people were needed to address this. Not because I'm anyone special, but because more people were needed to address this. I can only say, friends, that more and more pastors, leaders privately are saying to me, Mike, what are we going to do? I want to help equip. I want to help sound the alarm. I want to help you stand for what is right and be able to articulate your stand for what is right. All right, we'll come back to your calls and let's talk about some of the latest movies and the war on the age of consent when we return right here on The Line of Fire.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world. We focus on moral and cultural issues. Be sure to tune in as many days as you can next week. If you miss any of the broadcasts, try to catch them later on podcast or on a website. If you're not sure how to listen to the show, just go to AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see a big slide for The Line of Fire. Just click on that, and that'll tell you where to listen, how to subscribe by podcast. So take advantage of that. I believe next week is going to be very edifying, very encouraging, very much vision casting. 866-348-7884. Look, friends, I draw attention to these issues not to be a doomsayer, whatever it is, a doom and gloom person, not to be negative, but to say we must wake up to what's happening and we must have an attitude that is more passionate for Jesus, more passionate for souls, more passionate for righteousness, more passionate for family purity, more passionate for personal purity, more passionate to see people set free and whole. We must be more passionate for good and for our cause than our friends in the gay activist community are passionate for their cause. They believe it's for good. We say it's destructive. They look at us and they say what you're doing is destructive. The answer is the wholeness that comes from the Lord. And those of you who have testimonies, don't be afraid to speak up and speak out. Let me go to the phones. Frank in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that, Dr. Brown. Essentially, I just wanted to encourage you and to say how grateful I am to you for the methods and methodology and the words that you use in dealing with the issue and subject. As you were speaking about the issue of the homosexuality and our approach and what we should be doing as the people of God, I appreciate the love and compassion that actually comes through as you are sharing the words that you're using and the motivation, which in my view comes from the Spirit of God. And I appreciate the fact that you are constantly sharing the Word of God. And I think that as we share the Word, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And as we share from the Word of God, it will produce life, even those who may be bound up in issues of homosexuality, drug use, and various other ills that are prevailing in our society these days. So I just wanted to call to say thank you for what you're doing, for your encouragement of the church, and for the methods that you use and employ, and for your statement. This is not to be hurtful. Though whenever sin is pointed out, it is hurtful. The bottom line is that the Lord is trying to get us all to make the Word of God our final determinator for how we live our lives.
Amen. Well, Frank, thank you for the kind words, and I do appreciate the encouragement, and I appreciate that what we're trying to do is being heard and understood. Because I believe, bottom line, Frank, most of us as believers, we would rather be friends than fighters. We would rather get down in the trenches with people who are hurting and put an arm around them and say, hey, I love you, I care for you, how can I help?
Absolutely.
Rather than get involved in endless social issues and political issues and things like that. But there are times when we have to stand and speak, and it's part of our role as disciples. You know, Jesus made clear in the Great Commission that the disciples are to go and make disciples. You say, well, okay, that's all we should concentrate on. But my question is, well, how do disciples live? In other words, once you've come to faith and become a believer and are now living for the Lord, how do we live? How do we behave in certain situations? What do we pour into our kids in the home?
Yeah.
What do we speak for in the business place, in our schools? Who do we vote for, not vote for? So ultimately, we have to live our lives here. How are we going to live? And it's our sacred responsibility to make a difference, but it must be gospel-based and spirit-based and word-based. Otherwise, it's just going to be another social movement that fails.
You are exactly correct. And one of the things that happens is that as we look in the book of Acts, we find that so often the apostles and other disciples were placed in positions where, in fact, while we, as you said, we do want to be friendly, we want to be encouraged. encouragers. We always want to grab up folks and love them. But a part of that loving is being willing to confront that which is contrary to godliness and
yes.
doing so in love. And so that's, again, you've been doing that. I hear it. I thank God for you. It encourages me to continue, hopefully in that same vein. And we can pray for each other that we'll be successful in what God would have us to do.
Amen. Grace to you, Frank, and thanks again for the call. I appreciate it. All right, 866-348-7884. I do want to let you know about a few media-related things happening. I do want to talk a little bit about a case unfolding in Florida where there is now a move to challenge the age of consent, and it's driven by the fact that it's a lesbian relationship, because similar things are happening in the heterosexual world all the time, and you barely hear anything about it. I want to get to that before this hour is out. But let's go back to the phones. Charlie in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I just want to emphasize, I have just a couple of things I wanted to point out. One thing is, I agree with that previous caller. Your tone and attitude is really good. And that's really important. Secondly, I've only heard your program 2 days in a row since I had to come up to Boston to go to a doc's appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very pleased with your program. Two quick comments. I won't take up your time. One is, a few years ago, I read on Focus on the Family's newsletter that Johns Hopkins University Medical Center that had pioneered changing the sexual gender operations, I don't know what the technical term is, quit doing it. And I went to the website, their website, Johns Hopkins, and they said basically due to the traumatic effects, psychological and emotional, and all kind of, we're no longer going to do this operation. Now, I went to tell a friend of mine after that, and it was off the website, but I saw that, and I heard
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, Charlie, I document this in great length in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And what it is Dr. Paul McHugh, who headed up the department there at Johns Hopkins. He's the head of the psychology department and was on a president's council, a highly respected psychologist. He began to track the people having sex change surgery and realized that they were catering to an internal issue.
Mm-hmm.
The paraphrase is, surely the problem was in the mind, not the member. That he realized that rather than helping people, they were hurting people, and that ultimately they banned, after years of study, they banned sex change surgery operations at Johns Hopkins. So that's well documented. If you just want to look for it, the name is Paul McHugh, McHugh. You'll find the information there. Of course, many in the transgender community despise McHugh's work and say he's biased and bigoted and out of touch and out of date. I think what he wrote is quite compelling. And if you get
my
book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, you'll find a chapter where I deal with that in some depth as well. Really, what we want to do is find ways to help people from the inside out.
Yes, sir. I want one more comment, if you don't mind.
Please.
My own daughter, for 9 years, was in a relationship with another woman. And they would not agree with my biblical position, but they would keep bringing it up. They wanted me to say yes. And I said, Sarah, I'm sorry. I love you, baby. I'm always going to love you. But this is not correct, and that's not who you are. 9 years later, she came out of it, and she told me, Dad, every single lesbian that I know personally, every single lesbian that I know has been abused by someone, and everyone. And I've heard three other people that were in that lifestyle say the same thing. Now, maybe not 100%, but Dr. Brown, that's huge.
Yeah, you know, that's amazing. And I want everyone to hear that. Say one more time. How old was your daughter when she came to this conclusion?
When she began her relationship with this other woman, she was probably like 19 or 18, something like that.
Okay, so now she's in her late 20s. What did she say to you about every lesbian that she knew over this 9-year period?
While she was still in it, she was on a moment of, you know, not non-confrontational. She and her lesbian girlfriend said, every single lesbian that they know has been sexually abused in the past. Everyone.
Charlie, anecdotally, I hear the same thing over and over. And even if it's not every, it is extremely common. In other words, there are things that influence behavior and attitude and desires in many, many people. Charlie, stay where you are. I want to send you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. And if you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire, you'll be able to listen to the radio program anywhere you are in the country or in the world, since you're not in Boston all the time on our great station there, WEZE. So stay right there. I want to send you a copy of the book. When we come back, are you ready for more shocking news? I'll tell you what we can do about it as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. All right, I wrote an article. You can read it now by going to AskDrBrown.org and just clicking on the latest article. It's called The Film Industry's Celebration of Gay and the War on the Age of Consent. There are two movies that just came out that I do not plan to see, and I assume you will not plan to see them either. One is a French movie called Blue is the Warmest Color, and at the prestigious Cannes Film Festival, it won the top award. In fact, it was supported so enthusiastically by a jury led by Steven Spielberg and Nicole Kidman that the award was given to both the director and the two leading actresses. It tells a story about a 15-year-old girl who falls in love with an older woman, a 30-year-old woman, something like that. And according to the descriptions, the sex scenes are, they leave nothing to the imagination. Enough said. So this, of course, is hailed as a remarkable movie and just smashing success and so on. Then, over the weekend, HBO aired a movie on Liberace and his young lover, Scott Thorson. Scott Thorson became his his lover when he was just 17 years old. Liberace, of course, much, much older, according to the reports and stories. Liberace even paid for him to have plastic surgery so he would look more like his physical son. So that's who Liberace would be traveling with, his son. That's what it would appear to be. And in fact, Joey, let's play clip number 11. So this film was on HBO, apparently because it was too gay even for the big studios. For those who may have been fans of some Michael Douglas movies in the past, perhaps he was in some that were acceptable for believers to watch. I'm not an expert on this. Michael Douglas plays Liberace. And for those who were fans of, what was it, Born Identity, I've seen some of those in edited forms. I guess if there's any profanity, that's gone. Matt Damon plays the young lover, Scott Thorson. I'm sure you'll be pleased to hear that, sarcasm intended. let's hear a little bit more about this movie.
I don't think there's been a movie like this ever made. I really don't. It's a spectacle.
I read that you described it as, this is my favorite quote, you said, it's so gay it makes an average episode of Glee look like The Expendables.
I did say that. And it's true.
But this is a movie the big studios wanted nothing to do with. And now there's as much early buzz over Beyond the Candelabra as there is glitz on a Liberace suit.
It's a testament to how far we've come. People are much more comfortable living and being honest with who they are, which is great.
Yep, so this movie, which was too gay for the big studios, which is saying something, given today's climate, it's being celebrated and praised. And isn't it remarkable? Boy, these gay movies are like the best movies ever. Brokeback Mountain, when that came out, that was just the best movie. Or I wonder if there's any kind of media bias. And no issue about the absolute pornographic nature of the first movie I mentioned. Who knows about this other one? No mention of that, because this is to be celebrated after all. An older woman and a 15-year-old girl. I think the age of consent in France is 15. And then Liberace with a 17-year-old young man, teenage boy, that begins that relationship. According to the young man who's now older and in prison for a number of reasons, he left Liberace because of Liberace's promiscuity. And that's his charge. Who in the world knows what happened there? It's promiscuity. It's heterosexual, homosexual. That's not the issue. But this is being so celebrated in film and media. And then you got the case, and I'm going to have to get this into this more in the second hour, so you can listen online, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire. But a case down in Florida, Caitlin Hunt, 18 years old. She was charged with committing statutory rape and molestation on her 14-year-old girlfriend. The parents of the 14-year-old girlfriend told her to stay away. The 14-year-old ended up taking off for a night with Caitlin. The parents finally called police. And, of course, the parents are getting blasted for being hateful and bigoted. And it's just because you don't like your daughter being a lesbian. And how dare you? And there's a Facebook page, Stop the Hate, Free Kate, and on and on. Of course, there's so much more to this story. But the fascinating thing is that there's this attack now on these laws, on the age of consent laws and statutory rape and these things. There's an attack that was not here for years and years and years when there were cases with heterosexuals. That wasn't happening. And you could challenge whether it's fair or not, or whether a kid should be labeled a sex offender. That's a whole other discussion. But the fact of the matter is, you didn't have this outcry and this movement, Stop the Hate, Free Kate, because it wasn't same sex. Now that it's same sex, hey, 18-year-old, 14-year-old, what's the big deal? When I mentioned this in an article last week, someone named Robbie commented and said, so being gay is immoral? An 18-year-old girl and 14-year-old being in love is immoral? What's wrong with you people? Love is love. Leave the poor girl alone and stop being bigots and hateful. That's it. If you have any issue with an 18-year-old being with a 14-year-old, or a 30-year-old being with a 15-year-old, or a grown man having a living 17-year-old lover, that's because you're bigoted and hateful. What do we do? What we must do is start taking the gospel seriously. Homosexual community, that's not our enemy. Democrats, Republicans, whoever, that's not our enemy. Radical feminists, they're not our enemy. Pro-abortions, they're not our enemy. There's a spiritual enemy that hates every one of those groups that I just mentioned and hates us. And we must start living for God as if eternity is real, as if Jesus really died for us and really rose from the dead, as if we have really been called to make a difference, because this is the hour where we stand up and do what's right. We apologize to God and our kids and our grandkids. Let me help equip you, friends. My book, Go and Sin No More, will be perhaps the most practical, life-changing book you've ever read on overcoming sin, on living a holy life, on walking in grace, and being, excuse me, free from legalism. And with that, we'll put in every book a 5x7 card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary that you can read and pray over. And with that, we'll also be including a 12-hour teaching series I did on holiness principles that you'll find life-changing as well. It's on a CD to listen to on your computer or MP3 player. So it's over $40 value with postage. Yours today for a gift of any size. So stand with us, help us, and we will stand with you and equip you. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or you can just go online to AskDrBrown.org. You'll see the special offer, and it's priced at 50% off there if that's easier for you. Or again, your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. Together, friends, we are making a difference. My bottom line today, how should we be living in light of the chaos in our society, in light of the ongoing onslaught from Satan on the human race, in light of the death and resurrection of Jesus? How should we be living? Well, have you heard about the dorky little boy who becomes a superhero girl? It's the latest in kids' programming. Oh, yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Stay tuned for a whole lot more.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Wednesday. We are focused on the world, but this is not conservative talk radio. This is not a political show. This is a gospel-based, biblically-based, kingdom-oriented broadcast. So we want God's perspective on what's happening in the news and what's happening in our society. 866-348-7884. So you can weigh in and share your perspective as well. Oh, before I talk to you about that superhero, do you know what happens in some of our schools across America? Looking at one particular account here, but these have happened all over America. Gender Bender Day. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gender Bender Day. Some have changed the name to Switch It Up Day. That's a voluntary event in schools where the boys dress like girls and the girls dress like boys. Yeah, everybody's doing it. So here's a report from the Huffington Post. Parents of students at a Wisconsin elementary school. Yes, you heard that right. A Wisconsin elementary school are up in arms over the theme Gender Bender Day, and at least one mother suggests the event may promote homosexuality. What a stupid, idiotic thought. What kind of mother is that? Say something that stupid. Yes, sarcasm intended. Tippecanoe School for the Arts and Humanities in Milwaukee recently celebrated School Spirit Week. Not Holy Spirit. Definitely not Holy Spirit. School Spirit Week with a series of events for students in kindergarten through eighth grades. Awesome. 5- and 6-year-olds. Kindergarten. According to Fox affiliate WITI, members of the student council chose Friday as Gender Bender Day, a volunteer event that called for boys to dress like girls and girls to dress like boys. An unidentified father told the station, "I think it's just teaching them the wrong lesson about gender. If you're a boy, stay a boy. You shouldn't have something like that at school." One mother, Deidre Hernandez, was so angry about Gender Bender Day that she called the school's principal to complain. Education Action Group Foundation, Inc. reports. Hernandez said she finds the theme ridiculous and creepy and added that having students dressed as transvestites will distract from the learning process. She also suggested that the event promotes the acceptance of homosexuality to students. They might as well call it Transgender Day. And she said that she has never stepped out to complain about something. Oh, but despite the ire of some parents, school representatives insist that some may be misconstruing things. According to Tony Tagliavia, a public relations manager for Milwaukee Public Schools, the assumptions about the intent of the event reported by EAG, the Education Action Group, are absolutely incorrect. This is an idea created by students as one of the series of school spirit days. As with other days, participation is voluntary. Oh, gosh, he does he just not get it? Or is he saying this with a smile on his face because it's such a ridiculous comment? Hey, it's voluntary. You don't have to come dressed as a boy dressed as a girl or a girl dressed as a boy. Just let lots of the students do it and expose all the little kids to it. What a great idea. Perhaps in a school near you and you didn't even know it, could that be? We're just getting started, but I want to tell you what we can do as believers.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on this Wednesday on The Line of Fire. Our focus on the world, on moral, cultural issues, and what we as believers should do in response. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to ask you a question. Before I go any further in today's show, I want to ask you an honest question. Does it bother you that I bring these things up? Maybe you're a devoted listener. You love Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. You love the Q&A on Friday. You love the teaching-oriented stuff on Tuesday. You love whatever we're going to cover on Monday. But, you know, Wednesday, it's moral cultural issues, these social issues. I don't know. I mean, you're kind of mixing the gospel with the world, and you're talking about things that are just not edifying. And why not just reach lost people, and why not just edify the body? Why do you bring these things up? Is that how you feel? Do you feel it's wrong for me to address these issues? Do you feel it's wrong for me to address what's happening in society, be it talking about issues relative to, say, abortion, or relative to homosexual activism, or other issues that we might cover? Do you think it's a distraction? Do you think it's something that takes away from the gospel, or do you think, thank God you're doing this, because very few are doing it, and we need to be alerted, and we need to understand what's happening, and we need to stand up for what's right, and we need to be equipped to. We have a responsibility in the schools. We have a responsibility in our society. We're being inundated with media saying a certain thing and sending a certain message, and we need to know how to respond. We should be salt and light in our society. We should be like sons of Issachar who understand the times and know what Israel should do. What do you think? 866-348-7884. Let me just give you a perspective. The radio broadcast is a reflection of my heart and life and calling. From Jewish ministry to world missions to revival in the church to getting equipped in the word, to being a prophetic voice to the society, the church being a prophetic voice to the society, and speaking truth to power in the love and power of the Spirit. So the radio show is a slice of my life on a daily basis and a slice of the ministry that God has called me to. But I want to give you a perspective. How much live Christian talk radio is there? If 80%, 90%, 98% of what's on is teaching, preaching oriented, could it be that there is a need to address these things, especially in an interactive way, and to tackle the controversies? And could it be that one reason the church is so ill-equipped to do what it's doing, and so many believers say, I don't know how to respond? I'm talking to leaders across the nation that say, Mike, we don't know how to respond to these issues in the church. We don't know how to respond to the families coming with these problems. We don't know what to do and how to do it. We want to stand for what's right, but we want to be caring and loving for our community. We want to give ourselves to righteousness, but we don't want to hurt people that are going to be pushed away. And we don't know how to address these things. Perhaps there's a need to equip. Perhaps there's a need to alert. The fact is, many people still don't even realize what's happening in society all around them. So I'm not asking for your opinion so I can hear your opinion and reconsider my calling or the purpose of this radio show. I'm simply interested to know, as you're listening, are you saying, man, we need your voice out there? Or you're saying, I wish you'd get off this subject and focus on other things. I want to know what you're thinking. I know what I believe is God's calling and purpose on me and what he's equipped me to do to serve you. But I'm curious to know what you think. 866-348-7884. Now, I mentioned the outset of the broadcast that there is a new superhero that you probably have not heard about before, but you certainly will be hearing about. And Ben Shapiro, Breitbart Report, now put this information out, so it's getting a lot of attention. But listen to this trailer for She's Out. Oh, I'm sure you want your little one to watch this.
Meet the boy. Who became a superhero. To save the world.
The ring turned you into She's Out.
As a girl.
I'm a dude.
No, he's a girl.
This dress is uncomfortable.
No, she's a boy who's... She's the boy who's a guy. He's just a guy.
Exactly.
Making the world a safer place.
Clever. I can fly.
Dressed as a girl. She's out.
Check me out. I'm a she-lebrity.
Oh, I'm a she-lebrity. Now, look, you have to understand... There's an ultimate motivation. Someone involved with this on some level has a motivation to promote transgenderism, to normalize it, to celebrate it, to say it's cool. Now, I want to promote sensitivity to those who struggle with these issues. I want to promote sensitivity to those who say, I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body. I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I want to promote sensitivity. I want to promote prayer, wisdom, compassionate love, outreach. I want to promote an environment where a man wearing a dress, carrying a Bible, can come into one of our services and raise his hands and praise the Lord. And instead of ushering that person out, we take that person out for lunch. Maybe if you got little kids and it's a little confusing for them, that's one thing. If they ask you, just say, he's a very nice man, but he's confused. We need to pray for him. How bigoted? Well, you call it bigoted. The person's confused and they need help because God did not make a mistake when he made them and put them in a situation where they are trapped. There is a better way. All kinds of handicaps and issues and problems that people are born with or that they develop into in their upbringing. But the fact is, God's way is always better than our solution, our way. I want to promote sensitivity. I want to promote an attitude of compassion and long-suffering. Let's say you got a guy in your church who struggles with same-sex attraction, and he keeps falling and falling, but he wants to do what's right. You just keep putting your arm around that person and caring for them and loving them and helping them. And guys, be a friend to that person. If you struggle in the same area, well, let others get close to them, but be a friend. Be a friend. It's difficult. These are issues to deal with. I can't imagine how difficult they would be. At the same time, truth requires us to stand our ground and not compromise our values for the sake of our companions, for the sake of being politically correct, for the sake of our congregational members that are going to get offended. We've got to stand for what's right, even when society comes against us. Otherwise, we have to apologize to God and our kids and our grandkids. Let me take a call from Charlotte, North Carolina. Adele, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I've never
Hello.
Called before, but...
Well, thank you.
I enjoy all of your Jewish Thursday, especially, is my favorite, but... on Wednesday, when you deal with social issues, let me ask you a question. You put out the question, what do we think? But let me ask you this. Do you feel led by the Holy Spirit to do this program, to address these issues and expose them for what they really are?
Oh, absolutely, without question.
Then it doesn't matter what any of us think. You are led to do this, and you have to do this. And you are, you know, like a Martin Luther of the day. You need to stand and be firm and be strong and be clear. And if your understanding of everything is clear, you've got clarity from the Holy Spirit, and you've been given understanding and wisdom about this, we need to hear it, whether we like it or not. And that's all that matters.
Well, Adele, I appreciate your comment, and I 100% affirm it. And to be clear... My asking, as I said, was not so much to get an opinion poll as to whether I should do this or not, but to try to see what's happening in the lives of people listening.
Because I'm saying it's more for the people listening, I think, than
I am. Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate that. No, it's very meaningful to me. Trust me, it's very meaningful, and I'm with you.
Yeah.
And look, I don't take things lightly. In other words, if I have a burden and it stays with me for months and for years, and the more I pray and the more I meet with the Lord, the more he burdens me. And then the more I see the importance of something It's not like I'm just going to say, well, God told me, I don't care. No, these are things that you live with and that burn in you. And that really, as Luther said, you know, I can do no other. So I do appreciate that. And it is interesting to hear how many recognize the need and perhaps those who don't, hence my question. But thank you. Hey, Adele, how long have you been listening to the program?
Oh, a while.
Well, good. I mean, most folks that listen don't call. And I've listened to shows for decades and never called. So thanks for being a first-time caller, especially on a subject like today. And, of course, you know, we're on 2 hours now from 2 to 4 in Charlotte. But thank you. The call is meaningful, and I appreciate it. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. I asked a question in the last segment, not as a poll in terms of what I should be doing or what God wants me to do or what the purpose of this broadcast is. I'm quite clear on those things, but how it strikes you. How it strikes you. When I address these issues about what's happening in our culture and moral and social issues, to you, as you're listening, is that a distraction from the gospel, or is this essential stuff that we need to know? 866-348-7884. Please read my latest article. It's an eye-opener. It is on the media celebration of gay and the war on the age of consent. You can read that by going to AskDrBrown.org and just clicking on the latest article. 866-34-TRUTH. So we played a clip. Children's Network launches transsexual superhero when a 12-year-old dorky boy named Guy says the magic words, "You go, girl." He becomes Shizow, wearing a purple skirt and cape, as well as pink gloves and white boots, and says, "I'm a celebrity." Now, these are delicate issues in terms of kids who actually struggle in these ways. I want you to hear from a mom about her child and the struggles that her boy, who's now called Jane, went through. Clip number 3.
My child started saying that she wanted to be a girl at the age of 4. However, I just ignored it, thinking it was a phase. However, as years progressed, she was struggling at school, constantly getting suspended. Until one day, about 2.5 years ago, I asked her what is wrong, and she said she wanted to be a girl. So we let her be a girl. Obviously born a boy, but she's my girl.
All right, and what happened since that decision was made? Clip number 4.
She has improved in her class. She's actually attending class. She has not been suspended, which in last year she was constantly suspended. She's made friends. She's kept those friends. She's improved. She's happy. The change in her life is dramatic. So, you know, I'm happy with the decision that we've made as a family. We ended up changing her birth certificate, Medicare card, everything on paper for her to be a girl.
All right, now, it's quite remarkable that you can change the birth certificate. This is a child. You can now say that the child was born female, whereas he was born male. Now, do you hear love in that mother's heart? Absolutely. Do you think those parents care? Absolutely. You think this was easy for them? Absolutely not. That's why we must have compassion. But isn't the right thing to do ultimately to say, okay, the child is actually a boy, and there's something inside of him telling him he's a girl. Let us do what we can and work with folks who have wisdom and experience here to help him find his identity that is in harmony with his body, with his gender, with his sexuality. In fact, the majority, by the way, the majority of boys who feel they're girls when they get past puberty end up not feeling like that. They may end up feeling that they're attracted to men. They may identify as gay, but changes do come, and some just grow out of it entirely, and some, with counseling and therapy, grow out of it earlier. But either way, we must have compassion because these are difficult situations, and what do we do? I mean, pastors call, what do we do when this comes to our church? Okay, well, that's what I'm telling you. We need to be equipped and ready. These are social issues that we cannot ignore for 1,000 different reasons, and now this gets celebrated in the media with a she-lebrity, a guy who becomes a girl superhero. Back to the phones. Diana, we lost Diana in Charlotte, but also appreciating the Wednesday broadcast. Thank you. Maybe if your phone's able to reconnect, maybe on a cell phone, you'll be able to call back. We'll be able to get to you as well. 866-348-7884. Again, I'm not doing a poll as to what I should broadcast or not. I have a clear sense of calling and direction and purpose and burden and vision for this broadcast. And to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, to help equip you to be a world changer, to help equip you to stand for what's right, to help equip you to reach out with compassion and to stand for truth without compromise. I'm curious to know, though, from your perspective listening, if you think this is something that is in harmony with the gospel, or in your view, I should just be preaching Jesus and kind of leaving it at that and not touching these social issues. Again, I want to know what you're thinking. I understand what God has called me to do. 866-348-7884. I will get your calls on the other side of the break. I want to encourage as many of you as possible to tune in extra next week. Listen online to get both hours if you only get 1 hour in your location, or if you get a half hour in your location. Listen as much as you can. It's going to be a really edifying show. We're going to hear from missionaries in different parts of the world. We're going to give you perspective of the larger work that we're part of and how you can be standing with us. So I think you'll really be blessed, and it will be a powerful week of radio next week. I'm holding in my hands that 5x7 card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary, beginning with, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Next, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life in thought and speech and in deed. Next, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. We are sending these out with all orders that go out this week. And for your gift of any size, this is normally more than $40, but your gift of any size, my book, Go and Sin No More, practical, life-changing, how to overcome sin, how to live a holy life, how to please the Lord, how to stay free from legalism, how to walk in God's grace, Go and Sin No More, together with an audio series of teaching on one CD for your computer or your MP3 player, so you listen to these messages that tie in with the book, 12 hours of teaching, and then we're putting the 10 commitments card of a Jesus revolutionary into every book that we send out. Your gift of any size, stand with us, help us however you can. Together, friends, we are making a difference. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or if you'd just like to order at half price, you can do so at our website, AskDrBrown.org, this week's special resource offer. A whole lot more to come. I feel like we're just scratching the surface so far.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, look at this. Sex columnist, gay activist Dan Savage, quote, married to his partner. They have a boy they've adopted, raised since being a very little child. And 15-year-old, he at some point came out to his fathers, to his two dads, saying that he was straight. He was worried what they might think. Dan Savage says, even with all the support we gave him to be whatever he wants to be, he felt allegiance to us and allegiance to his family and thought we'd be disappointed that he wouldn't be gay like us. He felt awkward coming out to us as straight, kind of broke our hearts. Obviously, they cared for him that much, and what he said was very touching to them. It is striking, though, that there is a certain pressure that kids will feel raised in that environment, and there is a certain modeling. Where is he going to learn how a man treats a woman and that upbringing? It's not to say that Dan Savage and his partner don't care. It's to say, what a shame that he wasn't raised by his mom and his dad together in a loving family. Could have been so much better for that young man. 866-348-7884. Welcome to the Line of Fire. It's Wednesday as we focus on the world, on moral, cultural issues. Oh, yeah. If you were a friend of Dan Savage and heard that, you'd say, what an absolutely hateful, bigoted comment. I understand that would be your position. And now you understand my position, that it's best to give a kid a mom and a dad. Oh, yeah. That's considered bigoted these days. 866-348-7884. So, Joey, get clip number two ready. In Florida, there was a case, an 18-year-old girl was having sexual relations with a 14-year-old girl. The parents of the 14-year-old told the 18-year-old to stay away. The 14-year-old ended up taking off overnight with the 18-year-old. The parents called police. The 18-year-old is now being charged with molestation and with statutory rape. And there is an outcry on her behalf. There is a campaign, Stop the Hate, Free Kate. Her name is Caitlin. And yet you have to ask the question, why is this hate? How many 18-year-old young men are sentenced with crimes of statutory rape for sex they have with a 13-year-old or 14-year-old or 15-year-old, consensual sex? Now you say, well, we need to look at those laws and should that person be put in the, you know, the sex offender registry and all that? Okay, those are questions that can be addressed. But what's clear is that when people say, okay, a crime was committed, that's not hate. Oh, no, it is hate because you see it's same sex. In other words, there is no morality if it's a same-sex relationship. If it's a same-sex relationship, then it's just love. And if it's an 18-year-old and a 14-year-old, that's got to be fine. You just have to accept that, and that's fine. And that's why there's the outcry over this. The father is fighting for his daughter, and I understand why he is as a father, but there's something very wrong-headed about it as well, especially to make it a campaign against bigotry and hatred. And to say the parents of the 14-year-old there, it's so wicked. They're bigoted, hate-filled people to call the police just because they don't want their daughter being a lesbian. Well, they said they didn't want their daughter being with an 18-year-old, and they warned about it. That's number one. And when the girl took off with your 18-year-old, that's when they finally called police. And number two, it's fine for them to think that their 14-year-old was influenced by the 18-year-old. There's a lot of sexual fluidity with teenagers. A lot of girls fool around with these things. There's a lot of sexual fluidity with women in general. So perhaps in a different environment, she never would have experimented with these things. How dare you say this? Friends, that's the environment we're in today. I want to get to your calls, and I want to play an interesting audio clip, the Free Kate movement, when we come back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, this story from Florida spreading here is a major German newspaper magazine online here with a story about this. In River County, Florida, stehen zwei Familien in einem erbitterten Kampf. Yeah, in River County, Florida, there are two families in a bitter war. This is spreading around the world. 866-348-7884. Clip number three, Joey.
Kate. It's the slogan of the Facebook page started by Caitlin Hunt's parents, desperate to help their 18-year-old daughter, who is facing felony charges for having a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old girl. The campaign is galvanizing attention from thousands of friends and strangers.
She's too young to have her life ruined or be a sex offender? I mean, just for dating someone that she's in classes with?
Hunt was arrested in February after detectives say she confessed to sexual acts with her former 14-year-old girlfriend.
Miss Hunt turned 18 in August, and these offenses occurred in December and January. So clearly Miss Hunt was an adult in the eyes of the court, and the victim was 14 years old.
Hunt's parents alleged the other girl's parents filed the criminal complaint because they were unhappy with their daughter's same-sex relationship. Supporters who showed up at the sheriff's office news conference agree.
I think the other kids' parents, the other girls' parents, are embarrassed the fact that their daughter is exploring a same-sex relationship.
Sheriff Daryl Lohr says this case is no different from others he has investigated, including same-sex allegations like this one.
That has nothing to do with it. If this was an 18-year-old male and that was a 14-year-old girl, it would have been prosecuted the same way.
This is very interesting. After my article on charismanews.com about film industry's celebration of gay and the war on the age of consent, again, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest article to read it. Matt Doe posted breaking news from PFLAG. This is Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. PFLAG of Vero will not support Kate. They said, we have been watching the developments in this case since it was brought to our attention. PFLAG of Vero Beach cannot enter into the controversy for the following reason. We have not been able to find whether charges brought against this unfortunate young lady are inspired by homophobia or are in any way anti-LGBTQ. The problem is that there is a law, and it appears the law was broken. Whoa. For them to state this is quite extraordinary because it indicates the fact that, yeah, you've got a law that was broken. Just because the girl involved being charged identifies as lesbian doesn't mean she can break the law. It's not a matter of stop the hate, free case. It's not hate. It's not hate. It's the law. It's the same law for everybody. 866-348-7884. Last half hour, I talked about the new children's superhero, a dorky 12-year-old boy. When he says, go girl, he turns into a superhero girl. It says, I'm a she-lebrity, so it is a transgender superhero. And I played a clip just so we're sensitive to the struggles that are going on here behind the scenes. I have no sympathy whatsoever for this TV show. I have no sympathy whatsoever for the celebration of transgenderism for our kids. No sympathy for that whatsoever. I have sympathy for those who struggle and are trying to find help. So I played clips from a mother who said, yeah, their son was born a boy, but at four he said he wanted to be a girl, and he had struggled in school and all these different things. And when they finally let him dress as a girl and gave him the name Jane and changed his birth certificate and all that, he's happy and he's doing so well. And hey, that's our little girl. So I want to touch on some of those things as well in this half hour. Dan in St. Petersburg, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike, great to hear from you. Great to be on your show and great to talk with you. I met you in Steve Hill's bathroom in Dallas, Texas, and my wife met you when you gave a talk at the University of South Florida. I'm a psychologist. I specialize in anxiety and parenting. I'm not sure I have a lot to offer. I know you specialize in this area. I loved your book. I just had a reaction in the clip that you had about this mother. Just wanted to make some comments about it.
Sure.
I find it curious that, you know, with his, anything could have been going on with this boy. It could be dysregulation mood, could be some kind of mood disorder. It could be ADHD. I know that's slapped on many times, but there's a small percentage of sincere cases. Could have been any kind of defiance. It could have been attachment issues. But then you hear the way that she framed it. She framed it right when, you know, all of a sudden he had good behavior and he had no more problems in school. And I found that really interesting. Whenever there's an elevation of attention, which found to happen, you know, there's a behavior change. The other thing that was curious about the first clip that you played is that she said, I ignored it. The first time he brought up the issue, I just ignored it and hoped it would go away. Well, whenever you ignore, and this is the thing about parenting, whenever you ignore a problem, you never ignore a problem. And one of the things that we do when we train parents and improve their parenting skills in urban settings or in a variety of settings with schools, you address everything. You bring it. You bring it as a parent. You address it. And, you know, like you said earlier in the show, Dr. Brown, he's confused. He's confused. So you clarify so your child isn't confused. You provide that clarity and truth so there isn't confusion even for the four-year-old.
How would you go about doing that? How do you clarify that for a four-year-old?
Well, with a four-year-old that says, I think I'm a boy, or I think I'm a girl in this case, you say, no, you're not. It's clear you're a boy. Or you might say, who said that in your classroom? Give me the name and give me the person who said it. And then you identify that specific person with them, and then you might talk
nobody told me. I just know it. I know it on the inside. I'm a girl. I like girls' toys. I like girly. I like to dress in pink. I'm a girl. Then what do you say?
Well, I find that to be extremely rare. And I don't know if you've, that rarely happens. Usually I think there's a social influence that may influence that type of thinking for a four-year-old.
Got it. All right. So in any case, though, the question is how to serve more effectively as parents or where to get help, where to get resources. And Dan, I appreciate you calling, and it's good to hear from you. Keep up the good work. Thank you, man. I encourage folks to go to my website that we put up for our book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's aqueerthing.com, aqueerthing.com. If you go there, you'll see a section that says Get Involved, how to get involved. And if you scroll down the different options, you'll see that one of them is, okay, we're dealing with these issues. We're dealing with a child with same-sex attraction. We're dealing with a child that identifies as transgender. There are ways that you can be helped. You can be helped as parents. And above all, we believe that God deeply cares about these things. You know, when you have society going the way it goes, though, when you have the she-lebrities, when you have gender bender days at school, I spoke about that in the first hour, where kids just show up dressed however they're going to, you know, elementary school up to eighth grade, they're going to dress how they dress. And, you know, boys going to dress like girls like boys one day in school. You have all this going on. Of course, you're going to have kids that get even more confused. And then they're raised in homes with same gender parents and so on. There are impressionable children who have their own issues and difficulties to live with, and now they're put in all kinds of different environments. Friends, it is challenging. Corey in Clearwater. We lost Corey. Linda, I want to get you right after the break. Looking at the clock now, we're a little short on time. Here's an article. Fox News yesterday. Boy or girl? Gender, a new challenge for schools. From the time they're born, we put our boys in blue beanies and our girls in pink ones. It's a societal norm and expectation even that you just are what you were born, a boy or a girl. goes on. Many children land enthusiastically on the expected side. Others dabble in both girl and boy things. But what if your kid, even from an early age, mostly showed an interest in doing opposite gender things? What if they wanted to test those limits in public places like school? Would you let them? These are questions that are coming up more and more and more. And the American Psychiatric Association, under constant pressure, has removed gender identity disorder from its list of mental health ailments and is now referring to it differently. Compassion says we cannot just say to the kid, okay, whoever you are, have you want to experiment, be fluid, we'll just give you the opportunity. We must find a better way. I'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of our Wednesday broadcast on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let me go straight to the phones. Linda in Charlotte, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Brown. It's really a privilege to get on your radio program.
Well, thank
you.
You
know, I have a question. Many years ago, I was in New York City as an art student, and homosexuality was so prevalent back in the 80s. It was just everywhere. I lived down in the village. I was a Christian at the time, and I was, you know, kind of a bright light in a dark place. But, you know, I haven't seen the church. I haven't seen any change. It's just gotten worse and worse. It's as though our culture is just totally taken over by the homosexual agenda. And, you know, I'm so grateful for your program because it's teaching us what to do. But is there anything else we can do, you know? What can the church do to change this incredible tide of immorality? Or is it just the way it's going to go until the Lord returns, you know?
Well, Linda, I appreciate the kind words about the broadcast and that you recognize that we are making a difference. The fact of the matter is, in the natural, this is a downward trend that can't be reversed. In other words, when you tamper with the family this far, when you mess with even the foundations of gender, when it gets this much entrenched in the media, the popular media, the schools, the culture, in the natural, it's just going to be a collapse. However, I don't leave it there. I believe that God can turn the tide. And I'm on the air and I do what I do in ministry because I believe that God's going to bring a moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution through the gospel. So with man, it's impossible. With God, it's possible. So where does it start? Mm-hmm. It starts with revival among the people of God, that we return to our first love, that we start to live as if the Bible's really true. We start to follow Jesus as if he's really Lord. We start to live as if we're passing through this world in light of eternity. So how can we live in a way that makes sense in the light of eternity? So we awaken, then we become aware of what's happening in the culture. We become informed and educated. You know, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, came out in 2011. Every day that goes by, it becomes more essential reading than the day before. And the shocking thing is that many people still don't even know it exists. So the fact is we need to be equipped. We need to understand what's going on. And then when we understand, then, okay, of course we're going to stand up for our schools then, once we realize what's really happening, be it getting involved with our schools, be it being on the school board, be it saying, okay, I got to teach in a public school. I need to be an administrator in a public school. Then we vote in a more informed way. And it's like, hey, this trash coming through the media, we're just having nothing to do with it with our family. Let the thing die off for lack of interest. And then the biggest thing is we have to live in such a way with the gospel that the alternative that we present is the alternative of life and truth and liberation and wholeness. We need to be the holy, life-giving counterpoint to the world. And Linda, this is not to put you on the spot, but have you been able to get a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America for yourself?
No, I actually haven't, and I will. I definitely will.
No, no, you're not going to buy it. I want to send it to you as a gift, all right? You're right here in Charlotte. I want to send it to you as a gift. And you know we're on now 2 hours a day in Charlotte.
Yeah, I've been listening, yes.
It's awesome.
Fantastic.
So all right, fantastic. Linda, stay right there, and I want to send you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Together with the Lord, we can make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH. Tiffany in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Long time no talk to.
Tiffany, yeah, I remember. I remember you from some years back when you first called. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I just had the opportunity to listen to some of the sound bites and some of the commentary, but particularly that about the four-year-old child whose mother kind of acquiesced to his wanting a sex change. And I do find that to be very disheartening, because as parents, you're supposed to be the ones who drive the ship until they're old enough to be accountable. But I think when you hear stories like that, what we have to remember as Christians is usually that's a non-believer that I would think. I didn't hear enough of it, but I would imagine that that person is a non-believer. But I know as a Christian parent, I already find myself having to overlook or override my children's innocence and really train them and teach them gender roles and what their responsibilities are as males, because of the culture now and everything that is acceptable in the culture. We just as Christians have to be proactive about these kinds of things.
You're absolutely
we just
right.
Do.
You are absolutely right, Tiffany, and that's part of why I bring these things up on the air, so that we will be proactive, so that it's not going to be four years after your kid watches Glee every night, you know, and you realize, oh, they're getting a message that's contrary, or whatever the thing is, or, you know, whatever the games they're playing or the people they're with. And what we do know, Tiffany, is if moms and dads will really work with the Lord to raise their kids and pour into them, that those kids will do the right thing.
And I believe it, but it is on us to protect their ear gates and their eye gates. Not that you can control everything, because they will see things in the world, but at home it needs to be taught and not compromised about what the Lord's standards are and how the world's standards will be different, but we're going to be held accountable. Even the children, when they become adults, they're going to be held accountable, so they need to learn that early on.
You're absolutely right. And look, we've raised our daughters. They're 35 and 34 now. Now they're raising their kids. It's a challenging world, but it can be done. Hey, Tiffany, because it's been so many months since I heard from you, and you were one of our early callers way back when, we're sending out a package with my book, Going Sin No More, in an audio series. I want to send it to you as a surprise gift. God bless you. Be strong in the Lord. So friends, to get what I'm about to send to Tiffany, my book, Go and Sin No More, you want to talk about practical, full of the word, how to live this out? I believe you'll find this book absolutely life-changing, freeing you from legalism, helping you to walk in God's grace and be an overcomer and live a holy life for the Lord. The book, plus an audio series on CD that you can listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. It's over $40 value with postage. Yours for your gift of any size. Be as generous as you can, but please take advantage of this. Your gift of any size, and we'll enclose with it 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. If you ordered yesterday, day before, we're putting this in as well. 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary in a 5x7 card to help you walk this out on a practical level. Here's the number to call to stand with us and to receive this: 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. And as always, you can order directly on our website, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, let it not be that we have a rude awakening because of the culture around us descending. Let it be that we are awakened by our relationship with the Lord, and we shine as lights in the midst of the darkness.